Morning. Welcome to worship at Greystone Baptist Church. It is good to be together in God's house this morning, and it's very good to see some of our students who are home from college, perhaps for the holiday weekend. We welcome you back, and we're glad that you're able to worship with us this day. If you are our guest this morning, we're especially grateful that you have chosen to worship with us, and we want you to know that Greystone is a place where everybody is welcome. It doesn't matter who you are, what you do professionally or in your spare time. We believe that there is a place for you to belong here, and we make it our commitment to live out that welcome in each and every moment. We ask that if you are a guest, that if you take just a second to fill out the connection card, which you'll find on the aisle of your pew. This gives us an opportunity to get to know a little bit about who you are as you are learning a little bit about who we are. If you have a prayer request or something that you would like to communicate back with us this week, whether you're a guest or a member, there is a place for you to do that on the back of the card. So there's a little something for everybody on the connection card. Also, I hope that if you did not receive an email this week with our Advent newsletter, that you grab one as you leave worship today. It looks like this, and there are lists and descriptions of opportunities for you to worship with us, to fellowship with us, to learn with us, and to grow with us in this season of Advent as we're waiting on the birth of the Christ child. This is the first Sunday of this special season. It's a day in which we focus on hope. So we turn our attention to a posture of active waiting, an openness for God's own presence to come and to dwell among us. So as we prepare for worship today, we ask that God open us heart, mind, body, and soul to the movement of God's Spirit and to the presence of Jesus Christ in our lives. Let us worship God together.
Thank you. Children, you are invited to come down front for just a moment and join me. I am so excited to see all of you this morning. Can anybody tell me what today is? There's lots of answers. The first day of Advent. You are right. That's the one I was looking for. There are others. What is today? Well, yeah, you're waiting for your birthday. The first day of December. Yep. Help me find a place. So today it's Sunday. It's the first day of December. It's the first Sunday in December. It's the first day of Advent. I have to tell you something. First of all, do you remember what Advent is? Yes. What is Advent? I think some of you talked about it in Sunday school. Christmas is Jesus' birthday, and Advent is the time that we get ready to celebrate. It's the time when we wait. You count down. A lot of us have those Advent calendars, right? And you know what? Most years, I'm going to be honest with you, and most years, they kind of get on my nerves a little bit. Because, let me tell you why. Because most years, Advent does not start on December 1st. And every Advent calendar that was ever been made to be sold to people starts on December 1st. And so this year makes me really happy because the first day of Advent is on December 1st. So this year I'm really excited about Advent calendars because the numbers make sense to me more. But Advent always starts 4 Sundays before Christmas. And on every Sunday in Advent, we have a different word that we think about. Do you remember what this week's word is? Hope. Right. Hope is our word for today. So I want you to think of something. What is something that you really hope for? You hoped that your tooth would fall out, and it happened, didn't it? What is something else you hope for? You're also waiting for some teeth to fall out? Yeah, we hope for lots of things. What do you hope for? You hope for a lot of toys. There's a lot of people that hope for that. Yeah, there's a lot of things that we can hope for. The hope, like, got another one? Okay. Her elf. Okay, what do you hope for? Oh, yeah? Yeah. One more. Oh, yeah? I think she's talking about her dog sneaking in somewhere. There are lots of things that we can hope for. But I want to tell you, a long time ago, there were people that were really hoping for a Savior to be born. They had been told that a Savior was coming. They had been told over and over again that one day something very special was going to happen. And guess what? They did not have an Advent calendar to count down. They didn't know how many days. They didn't know how many weeks. It actually took some years. And so they were waiting for a long time, and they didn't even know when the waiting was going to stop. A lot of times when we wait for something, we know when the waiting is going to stop, right? Like, we know when the last day of school is, or we know when Christmas break is coming, or we know when our birthday is. You know, there's a lot of times when we wait, and we know when the waiting is going to stop. They didn't know when the waiting was going to stop. And so when we are celebrating Advent and keeping Advent, we are getting our hearts and our minds ready to celebrate the greatest gift that was ever given to us when Jesus was born. That's right. And so this week, I want you to think a lot about the word hope. And there are a lot of things we hope for, like our teeth falling out and things about our dogs and our elves and toys and all that. But I want you to think about hope that might be something that you can't touch. Like hoping for everybody to have all the food that they need to eat and nobody's hungry, or hoping that everybody is happy and that nobody is sad. There are lots of things we can hope for that we can't really touch, right? And that's what I want you to think about this week. Maybe. So can we pray together? Loving God, we thank you for the gift of Christmas. Help us to wait, and to wait excitedly, and to wait with hope and wonder as we await the coming of Christ in the babe of Jesus. Help us to be excited this Advent, to get our hearts and our minds and our souls ready to celebrate Christmas. In your name we pray. Amen.
Lord of time and hope, we are moving forward into these holidays. We look at our calendars and we sync our family's planners, and we wonder if there will be enough time to accomplish everything that stands between us and that great day. There is a sense of anxiety at the thought of everything that has to be done, contacts that need to be made, preparations that must begin. And a little bit of darkness creeps in. It clouds our thoughts and our minds, but more importantly, it clouds our spirits. We need a bit of light. A candle shimmering in the darkness. And on this day, we pray to you because you are a God of time and light. You bring hope to us, as you have through all the voices of the great prophets and now through the one who is to come, Jesus the Christ. Prepare our hearts and remind us again of what this season is truly about. Love, hope, peace, joy. Calm us down, slow us down. Help us in our waiting to remember that it is in loving relationship that you gave your Son to us, and it is in loving relationship that your word is carried into the hearts of the people. So call us away from tinsel and ribbons and tapes and cards, and bring us together as your people to convey the eternal message that you have given light, light that shines on our paths and cuts through all darkness. And we pray for that light to shine in the hearts of your people today. For those who face this day with not a lot of strength, who seem to be overwhelmed and overburdened, who need help in their next steps, we pray that you would call us to be comfort, to come alongside. We pray that your Spirit would minister mercy and healing. We pray for your strength, for your reconciliation, for your restoration, for your love. Give strength to all who face difficult situations, and let your compassionate light shine on them, guiding their decisions and their steps. Bring us all into your presence. May the light of hope and love continually pour out upon us. And we pray with confidence and with gratitude. For your Son, Jesus the Christ, has called us together. Amen.
If you'll turn your attention once again to your bulletins, you'll find the words to our next congregational song, O Lord, How Shall I Meet You There? Let's stand together as we sing.
Especially grateful for the hope that comes with this special time of year. We hope and pray for peace, love, kindness to spread throughout this world and your kingdom so that they may become one. May the God of hope fill each of us individually and Greystone collectively with the Holy Spirit so that we may grow in faith and emulate Jesus' love through word and deed to everyone in our lives. Amen.
Thank you. Today's scripture comes from Romans 15, verses 4 through 13. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The word of God for the people of God.
Today is the first Sunday of Advent, as we have begun to establish. And like many of you in the room, today was the day that the Advent calendar came out of the closet. This is not just any Advent calendar. This is Lego's Harry Potter Advent calendar. It is the first Advent calendar that we have ever had in my house, and words cannot describe the excitement leading up to this moment, today on the first day of Advent. We've been waiting with the box on the top shelf of the hallway closet for nearly a month now. There are not words to describe the magnitude of Mia's excitement about how amazing this whole experience would be from day one to day 25. In a sense, we've had a countdown to the countdown for the birth of Jesus. Now, Justin and I, we've tried to tell Mia that it's probably not everything that she is expecting it to be. She's not going to get all the pieces at the same time. We tried to set that bar nice and low to make sure that she understands she's just getting one small gift each day. We've tried to explain how Advent calendars work. One thing, one door, one number each day, and then more waiting to open and see what lies behind another door. We've tried to shield her from the inevitable disappointment that will come when she realizes it will probably be Christmas before the whole scene is set, before all the figurines are in place. And even though we have tried to manage her expectations, even though we have tried to help avoid major heartache and disappointment, there was something that was happening around this Advent calendar. Something that was pure and untamed, unhindered. There was something special about Mia's Harry Potter Lego Advent hope. I heard her wake up this morning and the feet hit the floor above the kitchen where I was sitting. I heard her run down the hallway, then down the stairs and into the kitchen where I was working. She found the box immediately, looked for number one after informing me it was not in the correct place. She opened door number one. And I watched her silently. And I noticed something special, something beautiful, something in her that it seems I have lost along the way. I saw excitement. I saw joy. I saw curiosity. I saw commitment. I saw confidence that whatever was in this box behind that misplaced door number one, something absolutely amazing was about to happen. Really, what I saw this morning was hope. And look at what she found. It's a tiny Harry Potter. I was kind of surprised he was in door number one. And on the cover of his shirt is the letter H, which probably stands for Harry. But today, and every day that I look at this Lego Advent calendar, that H will stand for hope. The older we get, the more I think we struggle with hope. Perhaps we struggle with it because of some of the hard lessons that life has taught us along the way. Perhaps we had hoped for health in a year that was met with illness. Perhaps we hoped for prosperity in a year of scarcity. Maybe we hoped for companionship in a year of nothing but loneliness. Whatever it is that we hoped for, sooner or later, for most of us anyway, life has taught us not to get our hopes up too much, because we might be disappointed. With this logic, hope is understood as weakness, which is covered up in optimism. And thus it's relegated to our children, to the naive, to the young, to the simple-minded. With this logic, hope is merely a feeling. It is an emotional response that covers up the pain of our adult, of our grown-up realities. As adults, we try to protect ourselves from hopes. We lower our expectations so that we're not surprised by outcomes, so that we don't have to feel the pain of disappointment when reality sets in. But this morning, I am convinced that hope is none of those things at all. Rather, I'm convinced that hope is a stubborn refusal to accept things the way they are. I'm convinced that hope is a commitment to work for change. Hope is the active partner of faith, which believes that God is at work in the world. As author David Orr put it, hope is a verb with sleeves rolled up. And said with a Christian twist, this morning I am convinced that hope is a verb that is ready and eager to join in the work of kingdom building, even as we wait for God's presence to be made known, even as we wait, knowing that it seems like all is lost. Hope does not and will not stop. When Paul wrote the letter to the Romans that you heard a moment ago, Paul is addressing a church that is weary in their waiting, a church that has endured much, a church that is in jeopardy of being ripped apart by increasing cultural and political differences amongst the people. Paul has seen the vitality of the church threatened by the anti-Jewish sentiments endorsed under the reign of former Emperor Claudius, under whose rule Jews like Prisca and Aquila, who we know from the book of Acts, they were discriminated against. Their homes were stolen, and they were forced into exile. But Nero, the new emperor, was more sympathetic to the Roman Jews, and he permitted them to come back. But the damage was already done. The traumatic realities of exiles remained, and the church, which was young and was made up of both Jews and Gentiles, had to rediscover how to move forward given everything that had transpired. It had to rediscover hope in the midst of brokenness. How could those returning from exile trust the Gentiles who remained in Rome, reaping the benefits of empire? How could those who remained at home welcomed? How could they accept back the exiles into their community, without accepting some kind of personal risk? How could these groups get together? The church had to rediscover its unity in Christ, who saw beyond those categories of Jew and Gentile, but tensions were high and the situation seemed a little hopeless. Differences of political affiliation and ethnic identity had begun to seep into the church and dilute that unity, that early unity, which was born of a shared commitment to following Jesus all the way to the cross. There were differences of opinion about what following that Jesus looked like. There was judgment about whose faith was strong and whose faith was weak. There were assumptions about who had it all figured out and who had it all wrong. So to this broken and continuing to fraction church, Paul writes words of encouragement, of endurance. And ironically, Paul writes a word of hope. Well, on this first Sunday of Advent, Christians everywhere are talking about hope. Many of them are reading scriptures from the lectionary, which predict the return of Christ and the redemption of the world. Many will hear from Matthew's gospel these words: about that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son. Therefore, you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. And while we're not reading those words from Matthew's gospel today, if we were just to flip back in Romans a couple of chapters, we would find a similar message. You know what time it is, Paul says. How it is now the moment for you to wake from your sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. On this first Sunday of Advent, as we hear the message, or perhaps the warning, that Christ's return will happen, we are called to hope. We're called to believe and to act like it might just be true. In this season of Advent, we find ourselves often caught between the urgency and the long delay of that return, right? Of the coming of God's kingdom. We remember the words from the prophet Isaiah, who insists that one day God will reign, that God will judge between the nations, arbitrating conflicts, soothing out disagreements, and creating peace. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, Isaiah says, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. These are the words of the prophet. And as we remember those words, as we hear them throughout the season, we long for the day when they might be realized. But no sooner than we can begin to imagine that reality on earth, we are startled awake. Awake with reports of violence in London and war and escalating conflict further east, with impeachment inquiries in Washington, D.C. The whole world seems to be full of violence and hatred and lies and brokenness. And solutions are nowhere to be found. And to be quite frank, whether or not it is the first season of Advent, things are not feeling too hopeful. But then we remember that hope, as described in the Bible, is not naivete covered up in a healthy dose of optimism. Hope is not an emotion or a passive wish that we have. Hope is not a refusal to accept the world as it is and yet to dream about something more. No, hope is active. Hope is an active way of living. It is a commitment to hold on to God's promises for a new heaven and a new earth. Hope is a lived confidence that with God's help, this world, our world, will one day be redeemed just as it has been foretold. And in the scripture, hope is action taken. Action taken to join God in the work of building that new creation right here. Right in the middle of our brokenness, with all of our shortcomings, trusting God to take care of all that we cannot do on our own. Hope is active. In this recognition, the plight of the ancient Roman Christians doesn't feel all that foreign or ancient at all. And the encouragement from Paul doesn't seem to be far from where we are, does it? There was a false sense of unity that had grown in the Roman churches based on the institutions of politics and economics and human understanding. Those who shared the same life experiences and ethnic identities and political ideas and theological conclusions, they found it easier to rally together, claiming superiority and strength over the others. Well, no wonder they kept falling
short. All of those false unifiers are based on human experience and human potential. But Paul reminds them that if there is any hope to be found at all, it will not be found in earthly power, but it will be found in the lived example of Jesus, who fed the hungry, who healed the broken, who liberated the oppressed, and who welcomed everyone to the table. So perhaps if we've lost our hope, we might begin to find it by following the same advice. We might begin to rediscover it by opening ourselves to those who don't look like us, who don't speak like us, who don't share our life experiences, who don't think like us, and perhaps even those who don't worship like us. Welcome one another, Paul says, just as Christ has welcomed you. Live in harmony with one another, whether Jew or Gentile, because Christ has welcomed you just as you are, with all your limitations, with all of your flaws, with all of your imperfections. Christ has welcomed you without expecting perfection, without any required documentation. Christ has welcomed you without question, without requirement, without hesitation, without condition. Christ has welcomed you. And in that experience of being welcomed in, God's kingdom has drawn near. In that experience of being welcomed in, you and I and we together, we are being transformed by the Holy Spirit. We can begin to hope beyond the brokenness and pain that we see in our world and that we know in our lives. When we are welcomed into the body of Christ and the Spirit gets to work on us, hope begins to grow within us because we remember that we are not alone. We are not alone in our struggles or in our brokenness. We are not alone in our grief. We are never alone because Christ has welcomed us all. Standing here in a pulpit on this first Sunday of Advent, I must confess I'm a little embarrassed. I'm embarrassed to admit that I struggled with hope this week. I struggled to believe that somehow and some way all the pain and the sin and the brokenness of this world could somehow be made new. It just seemed a little far off. Then I look at this little Lego. Look at this one little piece. And I realize that when I struggle for hope, it's usually because I have fallen prey to the lie that I have to do it alone. When I struggle to find hope, it's usually because I've started to believe that I am alone and that I alone am responsible for healing all the pain, for righting all the wrongs, for mending all the brokenness in the world, in the church, and even in my own life. But then I look at this Lego, and when I see it there, I remember that I'm not alone. It's just the first piece. In fact, there's a whole scene yet to be built, and we don't know what it's going to look like. There are other characters who will come out of doors number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and all the way up to 25. There are more props to add. There are new storylines to create. And in fact, this adventure is only just beginning. And only God knows when and where and how it will end. So looking at this Lego, I humbly remember that this year, I alone cannot bring about new creation. I alone cannot beat swords into plowshares. I alone cannot make lions and lambs, or perhaps donkeys and elephants lie down together. But with steadfastness and with courage, and perhaps even with God's help, I am growing in hope. Amen.
in this high season, the season with so much expectation, it is appropriate that we begin our spiritual journey saying yes to God's welcome at this table. Christ welcomes all people to this table, all who love God and all who hope, living their lives, embodying that loving welcome that we have come to know in Christ Jesus. A loving welcome which is available to all people in all places, in all times. All who hunger and thirst to know the presence of Christ in their life, they are welcomed at this table of God's tremendous grace. This is Christ's table, and the invitation is Christ's alone. This is our holy meal for this sacred journey of life. Whether this is a time of abundant hope or a time of scarce hope for you, you are welcome, you are wanted, and you belong here. Let us pray together. God of all creation, we give you thanks for the hope that you have shown us in the wide expanse of your welcome, for the example of Jesus who models for us an active hope, a life lived breaking down every barrier and bringing forth your kingdom. We give you thanks for the testimony of Scripture that reminds us that you are with us every step of the way. And we ask that somehow in your mystery, through the gathering around this table, that you will teach us how to live in unity with one another. We know that even when we fall short, you are here eager to forgive us and ready to welcome us back to this table. And for that, O God, we give you great thanks. Draw us together with people of faith around the world and use us as instruments of your hope, bringing all people together and working to build your beloved community here and now while we wait for your return. Pour out your Spirit upon these gifts of food and drink that by the sharing of this meal that we might remember and be transformed into the body of Christ, united in the service of others, examples of your loving welcome, giving our whole lives as an offering to you. For we see now only in part, but we await with great hope the banquet feast that we will one day enjoy together with you and with all of your children who you have called beloved. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. On the night that Jesus was arrested, he found himself around a table similar to this, with his friends and followers. And during the course of the meal, Jesus took the bread and blessed it. And after giving thanks, he broke it, saying, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat." And in the same way, he took the cup. And after giving thanks, he poured it out, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant, given for you." Each time you share of this meal, do so in remembrance of me, Jesus says. Sisters and brothers, the table of Christ is ready. Come, bring all the faith that you have to this table of God's tremendous grace. This is the body of Christ, broken for you. Take and eat. Is the cup of life poured out for you. Take and drink. Sisters and brothers, hopefully this has been a time of renewal for you, a time of hope. Hope that you have received God's grace here and the nourishment that is required for the journey ahead. So revived by God's love and God's hope, in God's grace, let us greet one another with the peace of Christ. The peace of Christ be with you. are invited to lift your voices with those of your friends and your family around you. During this time, if God is calling you to come forward with a decision to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior for the first time, if you're in that kind of space today, then come on down. Now is the appropriate time to respond with a bold yes. Or maybe God is calling you to join this faith community. If that is how the Spirit is leading you, then also this time is the right time for you to come down and to share that good news with us. However God is leading you during the hymn of response, you are invited to respond.
This afternoon, there is a grief share at Pastor Chrissy's house from 3 to 4:30. If you have not already signed up to go to that but are planning to attend, if you will go back to the sound booth today after the service and sign up. And also, if you need the address, you can find it there as well. Our afternoon music ministry rehearsals would be the same as normal, 4 o'clock Greystones rehearsal, 5 o'clock youth choir rehearsal, and 6 o'clock hymnal choir rehearsal. And also next Sunday evening, we have a special worship service with our Christmas at Greystone. The prelude will begin at 6:15 and the program at 6:30. We hope you'll come back for that and that you'll bring your friends next Sunday night, December 8th, for that musical service. And there are lots of other opportunities for involvement here at Greystone during the Advent season. Chrissy's already mentioned the Advent newsletter that went out via email, and you can also get a hard copy here. And you'll find many other opportunities listed in your bulletin as well. Now let's sing our sending song. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend on us, we pray.
Let us go forth with this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. May God's presence always be alive within you, giving you the grace never to sell yourself short. Grace to risk something big for something good, and grace to remember that the world is now too dangerous for anything but truth, and too small for anything but love. So may God take your feet and walk with them. May God take your hands and heal through them. And may God take your hearts and set them on fire. Amen.